Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews, and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
Greetings, welcome to Zed Games, heard in Brisbane on 4ZZZ, thanks to the magic of FM broadcasting, and around Australia, thanks to the Community Radio Network. This is Australia's longest-running gaming radio program. My name is Razor, and I am joined by my friends and co-hosts. To my left is the lovely Alana Pierce.
Hello.
And across from me, Miss Candy Payne.
Hi, everyone.
And finally, Jody McGregor.
Hello. Okay. I'm lovely too, by the way. Totally.
Yeah, what sexism? Everyone. Come on.
You are quite a handsome man, Jody.
That's better.
Okay. Let's spend 5 minutes making up for that sin. Jody, so tall, so rugged, so manly. Okay, this episode, Alana, you've been playing Tamagotchi Life, which is a game for the 3DS.
Yeah, it's, I don't know if you'd call it a game, but yes, I have been playing it, and it's basically like a Tamagotchi 3DS game.
Awesome. And you're going to give us a sneak preview of another game. It's a cartoony game set in the trenches of World War One.
Cartoony kind of dismisses it, but yeah, Valiant Hearts. Beautiful art style and a really lovely story that's depressing.
Yep. Also, we're celebrating Sonic the Hedgehog's 23rd birthday this week. And also, Jody's birthday is today as well.
Yay!
Oh, happy birthday, Jody.
Yeah, thanks. I'm slightly older than Sonic.
But cooler.
So we might chuck on a couple of tracks and talk about our fond memories, maybe some Sonic trivia later on. But first, let's get started with the week in gaming news headlines. Ms. Candy Payne?
Thank you, Razor. Virtual reality pioneer Oculus VR has announced that they will acquire Carbon Design, the company that designed the Xbox 360 controller. In a post to their Kickstarter page, Oculus said that the two companies have been collaborating for nearly a year now on multiple unannounced projects. Carbon has worked extensively with Microsoft in the past. Their previous work includes the design of the original Kinect peripheral, as well as various Microsoft-branded mice and steering wheel peripherals. Oculus themselves were acquired earlier this year by Facebook in a deal worth $2 billion.
See, I totally want an Oculus Rift, but the prototypes do look ugly as sin.
Oh.
So if they can get somebody who's into making pretty peripherals and make it look slicker, that would be nice.
Yeah. I'm happy that the Oculus is going to look well, as pretty good as well. It's interesting, though, that Oculus are themselves acquiring companies now, after only being acquired a few months ago themselves.
Yeah, I just wonder.
Yeah, I just wonder what exactly they have planned with another company. Like, I mean, everyone knows what the Oculus Rift does. What else are they planning to do? Have a controller that's fully compatible or something? I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like they're up to some top secret stuff in their labs back there.
Top secret in their labs. You made them sound like scientific geniuses.
Well, they're kind of systematically acquiring all the best and brightest minds in, like, the video game industry. We've seen a lot of people jumping ship and heading over to Oculus because they've been offered really good deals. So, I mean, any doubters, it's time to stop doubting because...
But then you remember that it's Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook does kind of suck.
Thanks for that considered opinion.
I just wonder how they're going to make money. Like, if it's, is it going to be on hardware sales? Or, I mean, Facebook are really good at making money off advertising. Is that a business plan that they're going to continue with the Oculus Rift?
What I'm thinking is it, if the Oculus Rift links with Facebook, so like it makes you link your Facebook account up to it, then it knows what games to advertise to you and stuff like that. But if it has ads in the Oculus Rift, no matter how much I love it, I'm not using it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good point.
I think they'd be mad to do that.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would think the same thing because it ruins the immersion completely and just, no, that would be hell.
Oh, yeah. Witcher fans, beware! A major leak of assets from The Witcher 3 has resulted in spoilers appearing all over the internet. The leak reportedly originated from the hacked Google Drive of a CD Projekt Red employee and includes concept art and design documents that outline the story and endings of the game. A PR manager from the studio said in a statement that although the development of the game will not be hindered or disrupted in any way due to the leak, players who do not wish to have the experience spoiled should avoid accessing the leaked documents. documents. So don't get on the interwebs this week.
Apparently, for things not spoiler-related, there are like 64 monsters detailed just in that and 157 songs, which sounds massive.
That's massive, leak.
Yeah. I'm kind of upset because now I've got to dodge spoilers on the internet. I know there's a lot of jerks out there that just love spoiling stuff for you. Mm. I was watching like a Twitch stream of E3, and then people are like posting through Game of Thrones spoilers in the text feed.
Aww.
And I'm just like, man, that is so not cool.
I wish you could like categorize your web searches into two sections, and like you could just put a block on anything that has the word spoiler, so that no spoilers ever come onto my feed because I'm in the unspoiled.
There's probably a way to do that.
Yeah.
Surely someone's thought of that. But with The Witcher 3, I feel like having played the other Witcher games, it would be super hard to spoil them. There are a variety of different endings that like vary dramatically because it's such a story-focused game that like even if it was like this person dies, you would be like, what?
Yeah.
How does this matter to me? Why do I care? I feel like it wouldn't be something that could be spoiled that easily unless it, like it's really long or something.
Yeah, it's not the artwork I'm upset about. It's actually the music in this. Like, I mean, I love seeing snippets and sneak peeks of artwork and things like that coming out, but it's the music. I don't know, I get so much more emotional from all of the music in games. Like, that's really
kind of takes away the magic if they show you first.
Yeah, and if I know what's going to be in the game, then I've heard it and it's not that immediate, like, emotional hit when you hear it for the first time.
Yeah, and same as even, like, menu screen music can sometimes, if you're not expecting it or if you haven't heard it before, can just be awesome. Like, Dragon's Dogma had the coolest menu music. It was so sweet. And every time it came on, I'd, like, just sit there and listen to it until the song ended. Mm. Same as Darksiders, actually.
Awesome.
Yeah, so for the last thing that we haven't got planned, Nintendo has been sued by Philips, the electronics company, for they had 3 patents and only 2 of them actually passed. They were sued last year, but they just like have gone through now. Don't know damages, and we won't know until the end of July. But it happened in a UK court, and it was because of a patent that's on like something to do with a system controlled by motion controls.
Yep.
Which obviously the Wii and the Wii U is exactly like that. But there was another one that they didn't pass because Nintendo hadn't violated it, that's to do with, like, recreating a model of an image through a camera or something like that that sounds exactly like Kinect.
Yeah.
So they're going to get sued for a whole bunch of money, presumably, but in the US, Philips are also suing Nintendo and are planning to, or trying to, take the Wii and the Wii U out of the US market. That's what they're trying to do.
Wow.
Banning them.
I mean, even if they do reach a settlement where they have to pay a percentage to Philips for every Wii U sold, that's a real kick in the nuts because
I feel like it makes me hate Philips. Like, isn't it bad PR almost? Because I'm like, screw them, trying to ban them.
Yeah, I don't know. These guys, they don't care about their public image beyond that point. They just see like billions and billions of dollars in potential revenue and they just grab it.
Yeah. I know that Nintendo are planning to appeal everything and they're not hoping to let it affect their sales or whatever. And I'm sure that there will be some kind of way for them to appeal the ban, especially in America, where that console makes a lot of money. So, you know, not having it in the market could actually affect the economy.
Yeah. But the Wii U isn't really doing as well as they projected or expected it would.
It's still not doing awful, though.
It's not doing awfully, but it's, you know, it's sold under 10 million, I think.
Yeah, I think it was like they were hoping to get 9 million in the past 12 months or something around that, and I think it was like 6 million they ended up getting or 4. It's just not doing well.
Yeah. So they're not hitting their revenue budget then?
They're not hitting their targets, even
They've kind of had to scale back their operation because of the Wii U's like lack of sales. But this is really bad for them because, I mean, it's already struggling. It's just, like being kicked while you're down already.
Yeah. And it's just I don't know. If they violated a patent, it's their own fault and they've screwed up and they deserve to be sued, but not have them be banned. Like, it would just be so horrible. And I feel like, they will be able to appeal that. I can't imagine that they'll ban them. It just can't happen. I won't allow it.
And did anyone see the accompanying graphic to that news, to that patent? There's like a graphic that was obviously made in MS Paint with really bad perspective angles, you know, like it was obviously done by someone who wasn't an artist, and it just made me think, man, I could actually lodge a patent if that's all it takes.
Is it really? Like the actual image, the official image?
The image that it's got like little numbers and stuff at where all the because a lot of patents have to be accompanied by diagrams that sort of further explain
how it looks. Yeah.
Yeah, and this one is just really crudely done.
That's funny as. But the other one that like fully does sound exactly like what Kinect does is how it can like scan you in a camera and then put you inside the screen. That's exactly what the other one sounds like. So I would not be surprised if Philips end up suing Microsoft.
All right, that's for this week's news. You're listening to Zed Games. Next up, we might talk a little bit about Sonic the Hedgehog, have a bit of a celebration of Sonic's 23-year-old history. You're listening to Zed Games. That was RAC, Sonic Labyrinth Zone. And also, I forgot to mention at the start of the show, we heard from Ian McKinney with Octodad, Nobody Suspects a Thing. Okay, this week, Sonic the Hedgehog, the lovable blue hedgehog that everyone loves, nearly, turns 23, so we thought we'd just pay a bit of tribute, recount some of our favourite memories. Candy, you've had some mixed, fuzzy memories about Sonic the Hedgehog growing up. We were talking about earlier, you couldn't really pinpoint a time or a place.
Yeah, well, fuzzy memories, because I was like 9, and, you know... No, I'm not 9, and so that was many years ago. I was just trying to remember what the hell console I owned that it came out on, so I thought I'd started with Sonic 2. Turns out I was wrong, and I actually started with the original because I had a Master System 2, as we discovered. Not a Mega Drive. I couldn't bloody well remember. It was many years ago.
So it came with Alex Kidd?
Yes. Yes, yeah. I could talk for half an hour on Alex Kidd. I loved that game.
Yeah. I believe that Sonic the Hedgehog was actually created as to replace Alex Kidd as the Sega mascot.
Yeah.
Before that, Alex Kidd was the mascot. He wasn't really that attractive.
He's not a flashy mascot, but he's still probably more well loved than Sonic.
Yeah, he had really solid games, but nobody actually knew what he was or cared what he looked like. Yeah. He was just a kid with a big head.
He was just the poor little built-in game on my system. So, you know, that was fun until I finished it. But
it was a good game, though. It was a really good game.
But
I think the first game was a bit rubbish, personally. because Sonic, because the main mechanic, right, is that you have to travel super fast. But then the level design really didn't facilitate that. You'd kind of hit a wall every 30 meters or something.
And then you'd bounce back and be all over the place, and then you couldn't get your speed up. And
so you had the ability to travel fast, but you just couldn't zip through levels. Sonic the Hedgehog.
And there were a lot of secrets as well hidden throughout the level.
Yeah.
So if you did zip through fast, you would miss all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a weird dissonance there.
Sonic the Hedgehog 2, however, rectified that. It kind of took advantage of that, of the speed mechanic, and you can really zip through and gain momentum and keep it up throughout the level.
See, I know. I mean, I understand that was the point, and that's why people enjoyed it. I didn't like going so fast because I loved just jumping around and trying to find the hidden levels and, like, walking through the walls and coming out the other side. It only sucked then when I had to, like, when I should have been going fast because I had a loop-the-loop or something, and then I couldn't, like, run up and around the loop, and that was crap.
You just, like, fall back down halfway.
Yeah,
so anticlimactic.
And you'd have to, like, run all the way back to the beginning of the level to get your speed up again, and
I usually played as Tails, I think it's Tails, the one that can fly. And I don't really remember why. Like, I always played it on a browser game, and I know that I played one of them on some console at some point at someone's house. I don't know.
Good story.
But on that, it was like co-op, and someone was Sonic and I was Tails, and you could like get to certain parts of the level that you otherwise couldn't if you were Tails. And I think there's like two other characters. Or one more,
yeah,
I don't...
There's Knuckles.
Knuckles. The pink one.
Yeah. Yeah. Good, yes. Is that all you've got to say about Knuckles?
Pretty much.
The pink one.
Does Knuckles have an ability of some kind?
I think Knuckles punches.
He was just the...
That would make sense.
The angrier looking one.
It would.
Oh, actually, I think Knuckles could glide. You know what? It's been a while. I can't remember. Maybe one of our listeners can set us right there.
Everybody liked Tails.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to be Knuckles.
Well, I didn't even want to be Sonic after a while. I was just happy to play a different character.
I remember there was a cartoon for Sonic that had this really, really cool intro song.
Mm.
Yes. It was called The Fastest Thing Alive.
Yeah. It was like kind of like a female rock band kind of song, and it was sweet.
You've just touched on a very happy time for Razor.
Apparently. He's so excited.
Yeah.
Weren't there two Sonic cartoons, and one of them was like aimed at a much younger audience? It was like this goofy Warner Brothers thing. And then there was the teenager one where they live in this weird dystopian future and everything is awful.
Wow.
Wow, yeah. Was there?
Well, totally
he was
a
teenager.
On different days.
So that would make sense.
Was he? He's a hedgehog.
Are we like a teenage
was he?
Hedgehog?
He wears sunglasses.
Sonic is 15 years old.
He's 15, right? Okay.
Apparently. But in that, remember the 90s cartoon with the, you know, Sonic, he's got
That's
an
it.
Attitude.
That's it.
Sonic the Hedgehog was voiced by Jaleel White.
Who is
better known as Steve Urkel.
No.
Yeah. Did I do that? You guys know that?
Well familiar with Steve Urkel. I had absolutely no idea.
Candy, you have some trivia questions for us?
Oh, look, I found some. There was a UK newspaper that posted some trivia questions.
Why not?
Oh, look, why not? Dr. Robotnik goes by what other name? Dr. Eggman, Dr. Walrus, Dr. Cuckoo Cuckoo, or Dr. Lennon? Good song, everyone.
I actually know this one. It was Dr. Eggman.
It was.
I knew that, but I don't know how I knew that. I don't know who that is, but I was like, I know the name Dr. Eggman.
The guy with the crazy red moustache.
Yeah,
my first ever boss battle, first memory of a boss battle was with him and his crazy blue spaceship thing coming out.
Oh, that was so hard. I remember that too.
I know. It took me ages to work. I had to bounce up into the spaceship.
Yeah, and you have to, like, bounce around it and sometimes behind it because it, like, shoots things from each angle. And
that's the one. Oh, good times, good times.
He was a jerk.
That's the point. What was the name of the first set of levels in the first Sonic game? Spring Yard, Scrap Brain, Green Hill, or Marble Zone?
Green Hill?
Yeah.
Yay!
See, these are all easy questions. They're from the start of the game. It's like, yes, that's a bit I played.
Keep doing that.
Yeah.
Now, this is a good one. For everybody that loves Tails, what is his real name? Max Power, Freddy Flyboy, Miles Prower, or Dr. Fox?
Miles Prower.
You would be incorrect.
Is it Max Power?
No, I'm kidding. You're right.
I knew I was
it's
right.
It's Miles Prower. Doesn't sound right.
Why
it sounds like
he need
a
real name. He's like some kind of animal.
I know. Does Sonic
a full
have a
name?
Real name?
Maybe.
He's entitled to a full name. He's not a second class citizen.
He's an animal.
Oh. But he's an anthropomorphic animal.
Ah, good point.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Anthropomorphic animal.
Yeah.
We're getting all sciencey with the Sonic discussion.
I guess.
What's the name of the small creatures introduced in the Sonic Adventure series? Were they Chi, Shu, Mao, or Chow?
Who the hell knows that?
No idea.
Chow? I don't know. Although he turns 23 today, how old is Sonic supposed to be in the games?
15! We already knew that.
Yay! That's all I got, kids. That'll
okay.
do.
Okay.
It's good.
Thanks,
we did
Candy.
All right.
No worries.
Alana, you have been playing Tamagotchi Life on the 3DS.
I have.
Is it like The Sims with Tamagotchi? Because in my head, that's what I'm picturing.
Yes. So you don't get to control the individual characters, which are Miis. You build them in a character creation system or you can import them, which I think is kind of cool. And it's also kind of funny that The Sims 4 is adding that in where you can import characters when Tamagotchi Life has already done it. So you populate this town that you have, and the more you populate it, shops open and other things unlock, and you can basically just do more with the more people that you have there. But you don't control any of them individually. You just sort of give them food and new clothes and things if you want them. Most of it is very basic and kind of dull, but sometimes there's the odd thing where you have to, like, choose the right location for one of them to propose to another one or something like that, which is kind of cute. But for the most part, the enjoyment of the game is not at all based in you playing it. It's watching it. So it's like having my mother and Abraham Lincoln go on a date because their Miis are in there. So they, like, go to the movies or something, or, you know, they go on little dates, or sometimes, like, coworkers and friends will, like, fight. And that's the only thing that's really interesting is sort of observing this game. And the observations are actually really good. They have voices, which are obviously different from The Sims. They don't, you know, speak Simlish. They actually speak. And it's just like a little robotic sound, so it's not exactly good. But I still find it, like, more immersive than The Sims in that way, in that I always thought The Sims with voices would be dumb, but it was actually really charming. Like, they don't say a lot, but of what they do say, you're like, oh, it spoke. Yay! And it's just kind of cute, and sometimes they, like, just say a little hey-o or something like that. And, it is really adorable, but one of my favorite parts about it is actually the dreams, because your Miis, as you just leave them, will end up sleeping and dreaming, and they have the weirdest dreams. Like, the things that happen in those dreams are just so bizarre that it's, like, I guess really quirky, but for the most part, it sort of feels more like you're watching it maybe as some kind of god than actually playing the game at all.
Mm.
Yeah, so, I don't know, I it wasn't challenging in any way and it's not demanding, so it's a game that you can play for like half an hour a day. And, you know, in Animal Crossing, if you stop playing, the animals in your town kind of get mad at you and they're like weirdly passive aggressive and it's kind of awkward if you like haven't played for a while. Whereas this, it doesn't matter. You can, it's just a game that you can like pick up and play and it's like dumb fun, but it's not something that you can really invest anything in.
Do they have like a town where they all live? Do you have individual houses for them?
You have a town and they all live in like an apartment block. So sometimes you even have to like buy them new furniture and stuff like that if that's what they want, which once again is really simple. But yeah, they like most of the stuff that they do will happen in their little apartment block where they like get into arguments and stuff. So it is cool because you when I got the game, I had like this massive catalog of people that I could like scan in using little QR codes. So there was like Abraham Lincoln was one of them. Cleopatra was one of them. Like most of the big names at Nintendo, like Iwata, are all in there as well. So it's just cool having all of these like people that you sort of know of just have these weird relationships that could never possibly happen, and they all have their own sort of personalities as well. So even if you go into the character creation menu, you choose from like a series of things like, is this person slow or fast, are they funny or serious, and then you like end up with this personality. And I think there's probably only like 5 or 6 personality types, but it does make their interactions really interesting, and they're not repetitive or anything like that. They seem natural, and the AI is actually quite good. It's just, yeah, there's not a lot to do. Like, it's charming and it's funny, but you just stare at it for a lot of the time.
What's the age group that this is targeted at?
Same as Tamagotchis, I'm guessing, which is like 8-year-olds. Like, it doesn't feel childish, but there's no challenge in any way. You know, there's no input. I would much prefer to be playing something else, even though it's not fundamentally bad in any way.
Yeah, it sounds kind of bland to me.
It's like I said, it is charming, but it's not, you know, it's not something that I would like recommend to everyone. I'm like, oh, this is really funny, and occasionally I'd be like, haha, check out what just happened, this is hilarious. But for the most part, you know, it is something that you'd only pick up for like a couple of days and then stop playing very quickly.
Can they die, your Tamagotchis?
Not that I've noticed.
So Ray would not like it.
None of mine died.
You can't murder them by locking them in a bathroom.
You can't even lock doors.
I already don't like this game.
What gave you that impression that I would like killing characters?
You seem like the kind of person who plays The Sims just to murder everybody in a swimming pool.
Well, because that was the best part. Everybody knows.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was Candy, not Ray.
You build a fence around a maid and then, put an electric bug zapper in, she kills herself, and then you get a ghost maid for free all the time.
Do the ghost maid still clean for you?
Yeah, that's why that was good.
That is cool. Do you have to pay?
No, they're free. It just comes as an angry little ghost because you killed it off in a...
Well,
sorry.
Nothing of that level happens in Tamagotchi life. There's none of that.
Monster. I'm just like, that's just fun. That's why I loved The Sims.
You can make a pool and then when they go swimming, take out the ladder and then watch them like either drown or...
They leave puddles everywhere. I feel like I play The Sims in the exact same way that I play Minecraft, where I basically use their job as farming to make a sick house. And that's all I do. I'm like, I don't care about my Sims. I just make the sweetest house that I can and, like, make it beautifully furnished. And then I'm like, all right, that house is done. Let's make another one.
Have you ever heard of that, about the money cheat?
Yeah, I use that sometimes.
Used it frequently. Yeah. All of the time, in fact.
But yeah, back to Tamagotchi
Life. Yeah, sorry, that game.
Yeah, well, there's not really a lot else to say. The Sims is more interesting and we could talk about it for a lot longer.
What's Tamagotchi on? Sorry, what have you been
playing? 3DS.
It's on your 3DS.
Yeah, and there is no Gay Marriage, which Nintendo have gotten quite a bit of attack for because, you know, it's a little Tamagotchi game, but for some reason they've, you know, put that restriction on where you can only have same-sex marriages and... It's unfortunate because I know that there are people who, when you play as your own me as well, you don't have a choice. You have to import your own me first.
Yeah.
So you have to play as yourself. Like, I can imagine how gay people would feel having to play as themselves and then being forced to be straight and have straight relationships. That would be uncomfortable.
Yeah, definitely. I've heard there's a workaround where you can change your me, like, have the gender technically male, for instance, but then wear, like, long hair and a dress and you can sort of get around that way. But I don't think that should...
You shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah. No, it's really unfair, but, like, I mean, obviously for me it didn't bother me a whole lot. I didn't exactly notice, but, you know, it's still... Like, when it's in the back of your head, when you're watching these Mii's get married, it is really obvious after a while. You know, you're like, this just doesn't feel right.
And like, I just feel like, without getting too political or anything, I feel like if this is a game that's targeted at younger people and that's a whole new generation, then I think why not put that in so it is just
Yeah, I think the thing is that Japanese culture isn't quite as forward.
It's a comfortable thing that kids are growing up with in games and stuff, and it's just natural. Whatever.
And having their own choice would be good too, because you can't even choose if your me is straight or whatever. So I don't know. That was obviously an issue.
How long do you think you could realistically keep playing this?
So I played it originally when I first got it and did a preview, and that was like 4 days. And then this time around, maybe 6 all up. And then beyond that, I just get bored.
As an 8-year-old, would they be more interested?
I would still say that an 8-year-old, you know, the cool thing about Tamagotchis was that you could take them to school and they're tiny.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just press button to, like, feed them, and then you can mate with other people's Tamagotchis, and it was all fun and exciting. Whereas this isn't the same. Like, you have this huge chunky 3DS that you can't just take to school and look after. So.
Certainly can't pull that out in math class.
No. So it's not
I got in trouble for pulling my Tamagotchis out in math class.
See, but you...
I did.
At least you could hide them.
Well, because I would know that it needed to be fed, and then I'd get the little angry symbol above its head, you know, like, or the poop would come up.
See,
and
that
I'd
that was
really
the fun
upset.
Part, though, was that you had to maintain them constantly, whereas these, if you close it, it doesn't matter.
My math teacher hated me.
I just had a little funny thought where, like, Tamagotchi was the Japanese word for boobies, and...
Yeah. What?
Was I the only one thinking that, or...?
Yes, because I didn't know that.
Sorry about that.
Dude. It's not. It's totally not.
Oh, dude.
He's Thanks lying. For raising the tone.
I'd like to hear a song.
You're listening to Zed Games. That was Konnichiwa Bitches by Robin. Jody scolding me during that song for not knowing who Robin is.
And now you do.
Oh, yeah. That song. That's such a cool song.
Okay, we're going to go around the room and talk about what we've individually been playing. Alana, let's start with you.
I have been playing a sweet little Yubi Arts game called Valiant Hearts. I've been playing it on the Xbox One, though I am pretty sure it's also available on the 360, PS3, PS4, and PC. Mm-hmm. And it's basically beautiful art style, to start with, as Yubi Arts has pretty quickly become known for.
Yeah, so it's Rayman Legends, Rayman Origins, and Child of Light most recently used the same engine.
Yeah, and it is really, really gorgeous. While it's like, it is cartoony, there are, because this is a World War One game, which, by the way, is awesome that it's World War One and not World War Two. I like, didn't realize how uncommon that is until I actually played it. Like, most World War One games are strategy games, right? Mm. But this is like an action adventure puzzle kind of game. So while, you know, there's some parts of the game that are on the front line and it's all smoky and there's like really bleak colors, sometimes you're in a really rural town in France, and it's beautiful and bright and really pretty. So even though it does look quite cartoony, they still manage to really convey a lot and, like, really effectively convey a tone in all of the stuff that they've done. Like, even the characters are like, blocky and cartoony, and they can't talk. They just sort of make, nah, kind of noises. But it is narrated. But, yeah, they just make really small noises, but it still shows emotion so, so well, which is the core part of the game, being about... It's not about the fighting. It's more about the actual people's... The effect that war has on individual people. So you actually play as 5 different characters throughout the game. And in the E3 trailer, we saw a dog, which is like the companion that you have who can help you solve puzzles. And every single one has a really different story that sort of loosely interlock with each other. And it's just... It's really sad. And it even starts off being sad with, like, someone being taken away from their family in a way that's just really upsetting. So... It does a really great job of telling that story. The only issue that I have with it is that there are so many, like, little World War One trivia, like, pop-ups. You know how, like, if you're walking around a game and you, like, find a letter or a note or something, they just pop up on the screen all the time. And it already tells you enough about World War One and does such a beautiful job of getting you involved that kind of really annoyed me.
Mm.
But as a puzzle game and as a mechanics, you know, it's all 2D, really, really pretty, and none of the puzzles are hard, but they're... challenging enough for me to say that I put in effort. Like, you have to think sometimes. Yeah. It's a lot of pulleys and levers and things that you have to, like, pull certain ways. Like, you know, really basic 2D puzzle game. But, it's not simple. And overall, it's just a beautiful story that is really, really sad, but does a really, really good and historically accurate job of telling a story because it is based on letters that were sent throughout the war. It's also narrated really, really beautifully as well, but I think the narration kind of goes too far at some points where he, like, over-narrates sad things, and you're like, I could already tell that from the animation, But yeah, really, I would recommend it to pretty much everyone. It's
those beautiful characters, there's like a nurse and a soldier, and so some of them are civilians and some of them are actually fighting.
Yeah, so they're not all in the war. And they like I said, they just sort of interlock. Well, obviously they're all, you know, affected by the war in pretty awful ways. And one of them's a Nazi, or a German soldier, rather, which is sort of a little bit odd. I think he's more, like, they seem to make more fun of him than have him as an actual character, but it's still interesting to see the different perspective. And I really like that they used 5 different characters in vastly different circumstances. I feel like that was a really effective way to do it, and it just makes it so sad. Like, the whole thing is just so upsetting. The end, ugh.
Yeah, well, if you can, like, the two wars, the World War One and World War Two. World War Two obviously is used a lot more in video games because
always
of the setting. I mean, you've got kind of the famous battles and things like that that naturally lend themselves to video game scenarios. Mm. But World War One was more of like trench warfare based. So people just sitting in trenches for months in this with really depressing conditions and morale dropping down, and then just all of a sudden they'll be commanded to run over the top of the trenches and just be mowed down by gunfire.
That's, I mean, you have to awful. Do that too. You have to do stuff like that. You know, you have to sit in a trench for a long time and then you have to run to the front line and have to, like, throw grenades at people. Like, I mean, the enemies effectively work as puzzles as well, so the combat's not super heavy, though there are occasional boss fights, but you have to do that exact thing. And it knowing that all of it is accurate as well, like, even without having those little trivia pop-ups that just give you too much information, It is really upsetting and really eye-opening, and I almost feel like it's an educational game, like it's almost something that, you know, in history class you should tell kids to play.
Yeah, it does seem like something that would be great for kids. With
I've definitely
art
learned
style.
Things.
It looks like a French comic book, like a Tintin or something. But
yeah, yeah, it is. It's beautiful and it's simple and, really informative and just, like, extremely emotional. It's overall just really, really good game.
In terms of educational, I actually think this has come out at perfect time because it's the, like, Anzac centenary, the QAnzac 100 thing's coming up, and so I just think that's launched at a perfect time for as perhaps a way to explain it to the younger generation that don't fully understand, you know, what it was like then, what effects it's had ever since.
There were definitely some, like, smaller, like, things that I didn't realise that they had to go through. I kind of don't want to talk about it in case it's a spoiler, because these things are emotional, but there's one part where you have to do something that they had to do in war and you're playing as one of the civilians. Mm. And it's just, like, the thing that they had to do was just, like, I don't know, disgusting. And I was like, did this actually happen? And I, like, Googled it, like, immediately afterwards, and it was, like, a thing that, like, hundreds of thousands of people had to do. And it was just really eye-opening, I guess. It was not disturbing in any way, just upsetting.
Well, interesting that you mentioned the German character as well, because I think that was obviously very, like, you mentioned him getting picked on, and that was obviously a very heavy part in World War One as well. Like, the after effects, even once the war was over, there was a lot of people that had moved from Germany to other countries. And
it showed a lot of influence on France as well.
Yeah, and that was so ashamed to be recognised as German or being related to a German family or something like that, that they were changing names, they were changing whole street names.
Yeah, even, he almost feels like a clown, actually. Wasn't distasteful, but, they did, like, make that character kind of dumb, but the other Germans he's around are, like, perfectly good characters and stuff like that. Overall, would totally recommend it.
Yep. And that's Valiant Hearts, which is PC?
Everything.
Cool.
All of the
Almost.
Consoles.
Sorry, Nintendo.
Now, Jody, you brought in a song from the Bully soundtrack to play, which I rather enjoyed. It was fantastic. And you also mentioned that you've been playing it for the first time.
Yeah, that's right.
It was released originally in 2006, so you're a bit late.
Yeah. I've been playing the PC version, which came out a little bit later, the Scholarship Edition. And it is very much a port of a console game to the PC. I plugged in my controller because it just feels weird without it. But once I did, it was like going back to play GTA 3 on a console all over again. It's from that era of Rockstar's design, and it really shows. It's a weird one, though. In GTA, you get used to being this sort of amoral criminal. But in this, it's not a game about being a bully. It's about going to this crappy boarding school that's really violent because you've been expelled from every other school and taking on the bullies. So you're actually trying to fix this school by taking on all of its cliques one by one, the greasers and the jocks and the nerds and the bullies.
It's totally not the impression that I've gotten from everything I've seen in that game.
Yeah, it was sold really badly, which is why it wasn't very... Yeah, They did not do a very good job at marketing it, which is why I didn't get around to playing it till now. I had no idea that it was about the exact opposite of what I thought it was about.
So why had you been expelled from previous schools?
From getting into fights with bullies.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
You're like the kid who won't back down, so you just get into a fight in every single school. And then this school is the place where all of the jerks get sent. So it's like the worst of the worst.
Mm. Yeah.
I have a special place in my heart for Bully. I played it when it first came out on the PS2 way back when. And I really loved the fact that throughout the game, as you progress, the seasons change and the town reflects that. Like, for instance, in the autumn, there's like leaves everywhere. During the winter, everything's covered in snow. Mm-hmm. And I think there's like a Halloween thing where the town for one night is all Halloween themed.
Yeah. So does that run on time or does that happen depending on what you've done in the story?
It's story progression. There are a certain amount of story missions and once you've completed them, the next chapter happens. And like once you get to chapter 3, suddenly it's winter.
That's really cool.
And then after you do a certain number of missions in the middle of winter, it'll be Christmas and there will be special Christmas things you can do.
What do you do in your average mission?
Well, there are a couple of different kinds. In a lot of them, you're approaching one of the cliques and then having one of those Grand Theft Auto-style cutscenes where someone who is a total jerkwad tells you what to do, and then you go and do it, which might be go and beat up some kids from another clique, like the nerds want you to beat up the jocks or whatever, or you might have to steal something from another kid, or sometimes like a girl will want you to go and secretly give a love letter and some chocolates to a boy she's got a crush on. So there's like a real weird variety between the things you can do, things that are sort of Rockstar Grand Theft Auto-ish, where you're riding around town on a bike getting chased by greaser punks, and then like stuff that's total, just like straight out of a high school movie.
Can you have relationships?
Sort of. There are a few characters that you can give presents to, and then if they like you enough, you can kiss them, which is how you get health back. So I did go on a date to the carnival with a girl, and then you have to like impress her by winning tickets on prizes and then buying her a teddy bear and stuff like that. So, yes.
Another cool thing is your skateboard. If you progress far enough into the game, you get, like, the skateboard that you can just, like, whip out at will. And, that was really cool. You can, like, bust tricks and stuff like that.
Yeah, or fall over because you tried to skate up steps, which happened to me immediately the first time I tried to skateboard.
Yeah, and you can get BMX bikes.
Why did you try and go up steps?
Well, because it's very hard to control. It's that kind of GTA 3 game where the camera is not really entirely under your control. Uh-huh. So whenever you try to do anything quickly, you wind up like running around in circles or getting stuck on a wall.
Yep. What are the classes like? So because you're in school, are you boarding?
Yeah, it's a boarding school, so at the end of every day you have to go back and go to sleep. And if you stay up after 11 p.m., the prefects will try to hunt you down and then beat you up and drag you back to your
college. So does it turn into like a mini stealth game?
Yeah, sort of. You can see like on the mini map, you can see these cones projecting out of where the prefects are, these red dots that are patrolling around, and you have to avoid them or run away from them. It is like a stealth game, and the other reason they chase you is if you go truant, if you skip a class, because you have two classes to go to each day, and they're completely random different things that each one is a mini game. Like geography class, you get a map and a bunch of flags, and you have to put the flags on the map, which is easy if it's like Europe. And then the second one was, here's all the states of America. I'm like, okay, but New York's on the East Coast, right? I flunked that class.
So what happens if you fail?
You just have to do that same class again at a random point later on. There's like a random cycle. So you go to class and you have no idea if you're going to geography or maths, which is simple math puzzles, or English, which is basically playing Boggle, or there's a photography class once you unlock a camera later on, and then you get sent around the school to take photos
That's
of certain
cool.
things.
Love it.
Yeah, that was cool.
Or you might wind up in shop class or gym, which are just the worst. I hated them so much.
I really liked the way time is represented. Like, there's a in-game clock, and time sort of passes, not in real time, but, you know, at an accelerated rate. But, you know, at 11 o'clock, you've got to be in class, or the prefects will hunt you down. And at, like, 10 p.m. each night, you kind of just pass out. and you wake up in your dorm. But I really thought that was pretty cool, like the fact that at different times of the day you could get busted for not being in school and stuff like that.
It does sound cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a game that I was fortunate enough to see little bits being played, but I have found it so very hard to get a copy ever since on Xbox because I think it was one of those games just not marketed well enough that they had enough releases here, and now it is the rarest thing to come across.
Have you tried eBay?
Yeah, I have, but I don't know. I get funny buying. Like, I just always get worried getting things from overseas. Like, I'm going to get a dodgy version or just something. Yeah. But even on eBay, it's not easy. I know Amazon has had it, but then also I don't know. Again, same thing, if it's compatible and stuff. And yeah, but I think it was a couple of years ago they released it, like, for very limited time only on Xbox Live, and I'm kicking myself for not getting a copy then because I always just wanted a hard copy of it, you know? I wanted the case. I wanted everything that came with it, but it is impossible to track down anyway now.
Yeah, the timing that the game came out in, like, the release window, it was sort of like 2006, and then that was when the Xbox launched, and it was at the very end of the PlayStation 2's life cycle. It was one of those PlayStation 2 games that was really, really good, but it came out far too late and never really got the recognition it deserved.
Yeah, I would love, if there's nothing else massive coming from Rockstar anytime soon, then I would absolutely love them to consider re-releasing this for the next gen.
I'm hoping that they're sort of, the project that they're going to work on next is going to be a next-gen Bully.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are thinking that maybe it's going to be Red Dead Redemption because we've just had a Grand Theft Auto game. But I'm hoping that they're secretly working on next-gen Bully.
Yeah.
You know what? I would really like to have Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and San Andreas re-released for the next-gen consoles as well. Like, it's weird how good Rockstar are. Like, everything that they make, I'm like, I want you to make more of this, and I also want you to remake this so I can play it again.
Yeah. I really want those games to be released for the PS Vita. I know that the GTA San Andreas.
You just want to make your Vita worthwhile.
I do.
Purchase.
Yeah. It's kind of gotten a bit shortchanged recently. I mean, at this point in the
Borderlands 2
just came out. That's not too bad. But the PSP at this stage in its life cycle had two GTA games released. So, you know, Rockstar have kind of dropped support for Sony handhelds, unfortunately. You can get it for the Android, though, so that's something. But
I do feel is worth noting. If Tamagotchi Life had been on the PS Vita, I feel like it wouldn't have been received half as well. Like, I had a look at review scores, and I think it's on, like, a 7. And I wouldn't give it a 7. I'd give it a 5. It's like fully okay, but I feel like if it were on the Vita, it would have been judged way more harshly because it's the Vita. Like, I can't think of a reason why. It's just that it seems like, you know, it was sort of given like another 2 points for free just because it's a 3DS game.
Oh, I feel like also DS has just had a much better marketing towards that younger age as well. You know, like, they've made it mostly because it was acceptable as a kid's device, but then, you know, then the adult one came out, so then it was really obvious that all of the other DSs were, like, for kids.
Yeah, and I guess PS Vita is just one market, and I feel like the Vita is almost kind of hardcore because not that many people own a Vita, and you only own a Vita if you really want to play games while you're traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel the same way as you do, Alana. I think PS Vita games get rated a lot more harshly because the expectation of what the game's going to be like is more in line of what PS3 or Xbox 360 delivers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas the 3DS, because the hardware is noticeably less advanced, it kind of gets a bit of a free pass when it comes to the complexity of the games.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of games on the 3DS that I feel have gotten sort of inflated review scores for whatever reason, and PS Vita games that have been judged too harshly, definitely.
Cool. All right, well, we just wrapped up talking about Bully, which, as we discussed, is pretty hard to track down, but you can get it on the PC via Steam, right, Jody?
Yeah, Steam or any of the other places that sell Steam keys, and it's actually pretty cheap now.
And I think Steam sales are just about to start.
They're on until the end of the month.
Ooh.
All right, well, that's going to bring us to the close of this episode, guys. As usual, thanks for listening. We have some social media pages that we'd like to plug, Jody.
We're on Twitter and Facebook at thatthing.zgamesau, and our website is zgamesau.net.
We're going to leave you now with one last track. Jody, you brought along some kind of Game of Thrones song.
This is Steve Does, who did an 80s version of the main theme.
Cool. Catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.